Welcome back to Paycheck Paradox. If you are new here, this is the podcast and blog where we are laser focused on one singular mission: financial independence, smart investing, and, well, the ultimate goal of reducing and eventually completely eliminating that dependence on W-2 income. We want your assets to do the heavy lifting so you don't have to.
That is the dream, isn't it? I mean, wake up, check the portfolio, and realize you made money while you were sleeping.
Exactly. Yeah. And today we are tackling a topic that is, I think, absolutely critical if you are looking at the tech sector to help build that portfolio. We are basing this entire discussion on the recent blog post published over at paycheckparadox.com.
It's a really timely piece. It it cuts right through a lot of the noise we're hearing in the market right now.
It really does. And just a quick heads up before we get rolling. For those of you who are visual learners or, you know, just want to see the charts and data we're referencing, we have a video version of this discussion available on YouTube with all the visuals included.
Right. We do that for every episode.
We do. So if you want to see the graphs, just head over there.
It's definitely worth a watch to see the actual breakdown.
Also, because we are talking about markets, investing, and specific companies today, we have to get the legal stuff out of the way. Quick disclaimer. Nothing you hear in this conversation is financial advice.
Yep.
We are just two people exploring ideas for, you know, educational and entertainment purposes. Do your own due diligence, folks. Don't bet the farm based on a podcast.
Always good advice.
Okay, let's get into it. The blog post addresses something that has been driving me a little crazy lately. If you turn on financial news, or if you spend any amount of time scrolling through ex-formerly Twitter, you get this overwhelming narrative that the sky is falling for the software industry.
Oh, the death of SaaS narrative.
Yeah, it is everywhere.
It is. The story goes like this. Artificial intelligence is this massive asteroid hurtling toward Earth and is going to wipe out the dinosaurs. And in this case, the dinosaurs are the massive enterprise software companies. Your Salesforce, Workday, ServiceNow, Adobe.
Right.
The logic being, why pay for them when AI can just do it for you?
Exactly. And there is this term floating around that I absolutely love, even though I think it's being used wrong. Vibe coding. Have you heard this?
I have. It's definitely the buzzword of the month.
So for the listener who hasn't been chronically online, vibe coding is this idea that non-technical people, people like me, frankly, can just open up Claude or ChatGPT and say, hey, the vibes are off, build me a CRM, and boom, the AI writes the code.
Mm-hmm.
And the bearish argument follows. Huh. If I can vibe code an app in an afternoon, why on earth would a company pay millions of dollars a year to Salesforce?
It is a very seductive idea. And to be fair, the technology is incredible. You really can build a game, a calculator, or a simple to-do list app in seconds just by speaking natural language.
Right. I've seen people build Flappy Bird clones in like 30 seconds. It's wild.
Exactly. But here is where the disconnect happens. The pundits, they're confusing the act of generating code with the reality of managing enterprise architecture.
Okay, let's unpack that.
Yeah.
Because to the layperson, or even the casual investor, they sound like the same thing. If I generate the code, doesn't I have the architecture?
Not even close. I mean, think of it this way. You can buy a 3D printer for your garage, right?
Sure.
And you can print a door handle. Does that mean you are ready to replace the Ford Motor Company's assembly line?
No. Okay, no, I can make a part, but I can't build a car.
Precisely. The people pushing this death of software theory are often generalists or solo developers. They see the magic of a chatbot writing a Python script and think, game over. But they likely haven't managed a complex IT stack for a multinational corporation. They haven't navigated a SOC2 compliance audit. They haven't been responsible for migrating a mission-critical ERP system while, you know, keeping the business running.
So it's a scale issue.
It is a complexity, trust, and scale issue. The thesis we're looking at today, and this is the core argument in the paycheckparadox.com post, is that AI isn't the asteroid. It's actually rocket fuel.
Rocket fuel.
It's going to make these big enterprise platforms stickier, more profitable, and harder to leave than ever before.
That is definitely a contrarian take right now. So let's dig into the why. The blog post outlines a few reality checks to debunk this vibe coding myth. Let's start with the first one, the stickiness factor.
Right, or as the blog refers to it, corporate surgery.
I love that phrase because, look, if I have an app on my phone and I don't like it, say a calorie tracker, I just hold down the icon, I click remove app, and it's gone. I download a new one in 10 seconds. Why can't a company just do that?
Because enterprise software isn't an app on a phone. It is the nervous system of the company. Once a system like SAP or Workday is deployed, displacing it is, it's incredibly violent to the organization.
Violent how?
It stops the business. Imagine a chief information officer, a CIO at a Fortune 500 company. Their job is to keep the lights on and the data safe. Their supply chain software tracks inventory across 40 countries, handles currency conversion, manages shipping manifests, and it feeds directly into financial reporting.
So if you delete that, the trucks just stop moving.
The trucks stop, the invoices don't get paid, and the stock price tanks. Replacing a system like that takes years and costs millions in consultant fees. Do you really think a CIO is going to wake up one morning and say, you know what? Let's scrap this battle-tested platform and replace it with a home-brewed app that Dave from accounting vibe-coded yesterday.
Poor Dave.
Yeah.
He's just trying to help. But when you put it that way, it sounds insane.
Because it is insane in a corporate context. No executive is going to bet their career on that. They need certainty. They need what we call a throat to choke.
A throat to choke. That sounds aggressive.
It's an industry term. It just means accountability. If Salesforce goes down, you have a service level agreement in SLA. You have a contract that guarantees uptime. You have a support line to call at 3 a.m.
Right.
If the vibe coded app breaks, who do you call? The AI.
Hello, ChatGPT. You made a mistake.
Exactly. And the AI might just hallucinate an answer. In a production environment, a single bug in a financial system can cost millions of dollars in minutes. Vibe coding is incredible for internal tools, maybe a dashboard for the team lunch order, or a quick prototype. But it lacks the trust factor required for mission-critical operations.
So barrier number one is just the sheer risk aversion of big companies. They want safety, and they pay a premium for it.
Precisely.
Okay, let's move to reality check number two. This one really stood out to me in the blog post because it feels like the most sort of intellectual argument against the death narrative.
Yeah.
It's the idea that software is process, not just code.
This is the most overlooked point in the whole debate, I think.
Explain that.
Yeah.
Because I think most people just see software as a utility. You know, it's a database. It stores stuff.
It's so much more than storage. When a company buys Salesforce, they aren't just buying a place to type in customer names. They are buying 20 years of industry best practices that have been crystallized into workflows.
So they're buying the knowledge of how sales should work.
Yes. They are buying the ironed out processes. How do you handle a lead? How do you manage a quote? How do you recognize revenue in compliance with international accounting standards? These platforms have optimized these things over thousands of implementations.
And a vibe coded app doesn't know any of that. It just knows how to write lines of code.
Right. An AI can write Python, but it doesn't inherently understand the nuance of a complex permission structure for a multinational bank. It doesn't know the audit trail requirements for a healthcare provider dealing with HIPAA regulations.
So if you tried to prompt an AI to build that, hey, AI, build me a CRM that is SOC2 compliant, handles multi-currency revenue recognition, and has role-based access control for 50,000 employees.
You would end up playing whack-a-mole with bugs and compliance issues for years. And here's the irony, and the blog post points this out brilliantly. To maintain that level of complexity in a custom-built AI app, you would eventually need to hire an army of developers and testers.
So you'd just end up recreating the very thing you were trying to avoid paying for in the first place.
Exactly. You'd build your own sales force, but it would be worse, harder to maintain, and probably illegal in three countries because you missed a compliance update.
Which brings us to the compliance mode. I feel like compliance is boring until it costs you $1 billion in fines.
Boring is where the money is. These platforms handle that regulatory headache for you. That is a massive part of what you were paying for. The peace of mind that your system of record is actually legal.
System of record. That's a key term the blog post uses a lot.
It is. It's the single source of truth. And that leads us right into the third reality check. The integration spider web.
The spider web. I like this visual. It made me think of the back of my TV cabinet. Just a total mess of wires.
That's a really good analogy for enterprise IT. Nothing stands alone. Enterprise systems do not live on islands. Your IT service management platform talks to your HR system. Your HR system talks to payroll. Payroll connects to procurement. Procurement connects to finance.
It's all connected.
It's a dense web of dependencies. The blog post calls it untangling a nervous system. If you rip out one piece, you break five others.
So even if AI can build a great point solution, say a really cool tool for tracking vacation time, it can't necessarily weave itself into that existing spider web of 500 other applications.
Not easily, and certainly not reliably enough to replace the core platform. The moat that protects these companies isn't just the code itself, it's the connectivity. It's the fact that they are already plugged into everything else. They are the hub of the wheel.
Okay, so we've established that the death of software is likely exaggerated. The platforms are sticky, they handle complex processes, and they are deeply integrated. But this is Paycheck Paradox. Mm-hmm. We aren't just here to talk theory. We're here to talk about making money and replacing that paycheck.
Right. What does this mean for the portfolio?
If the market is punishing these stocks based on this death myth, where's the opportunity? Because the blog post pivots here to what it calls the investment perspective.
This is where it gets really interesting for us. The bearish thesis assumes a zero-sum game. It assumes it's AI versus SaaS. One lives, one dies.
But the reality is the and argument.
Correct. It's AI on top of SaaS. We are seeing a hybrid model emerge. The SaaS platform provides the trusted data, the system of record, and the AI acts as the reasoning engine on top of it. Enterprises want both. They want the magic of AI, but they want it deployed on the safety of the platform they already trust.
And this leads to what the blog post calls the double dip. This blew my mind a little bit. The idea is that these software companies aren't victims. They're actually benefiting twice from this boom.
They are arguably the biggest winners in the room, and I think the market hasn't fully realized it yet. The double dip breaks down into three specific ways they win.
Okay, let's go through them. Number one, internal velocity.
This is simple economics. SaaS companies write software. AI makes writing software cheaper and faster. So companies like Salesforce or ServiceNow can now use AI to speed up their own R&D. They can fix bugs faster. They can ship features cheaper. Their margins should, in theory, improve because their primary cost engineering time is becoming more efficient.
So their cost of goods sold goes down. They become more profitable machines, even if they don't sell anything new.
Exactly. But of course, they are selling something new. Which brings us to number two, the AI premium.
The upsell. I see this everywhere now. Every piece of software I use has a glowing AI button that asks for my credit card.
It's the classic upsell model. Oh, you want the standard CRM, that's $50 a month. But do you want the AI agent that automatically writes your follow-up emails, summarizes your meetings, and prioritizes your leads? Well, that's the pro tier, and it's $75 a month.
And companies will pay it.
They will absolutely pay it, because if that AI feature saves their sales rep an hour a day, the ROI is instant. It pays for itself in a week. So the software companies get to charge more for the same customer. They increase their average revenue per user without having to find a single new client.
That is pricing power. Which brings us to the third, and probably the most futuristic one, agentic workflows. Now, we're not just talking about chatbots here.
No, we are moving way beyond chat. We are moving to agents.
I want to make sure the listener really gets this, because agent is a buzzy word. Give me a concrete example of this from the blog post. What does an agent actually do in an enterprise that a chatbot can't?
Okay, look at ServiceNow. They are deploying AI agents that don't just answer questions. They actively resolve IT incidents. So imagine a server throws an error log at 2 a.m. In the old world, a human has to wake up, read the log, figure it out, and type a command.
Manual labor.
In the agentic world, the ServiceNow agent analyzes the log, identifies the root cause, logged into the system, executes the fix, verifies the server is back online, and closes the ticket, all within the secure boundary of the platform.
That is wild. It's actual work being done, not just text generation.
It's labor automation. And here is the key point the blog post makes. These agents are valuable because they live inside the platform.
Why does location matter? Why can't I just ask ChatGPT to fix my server?
Context. A generic AI model, like a raw ChatGPT, doesn't know who your customers are. It doesn't have your sales history. It doesn't have your IT logs. It doesn't have the passwords or the permissions.
Right.
But an agent living inside ServiceNow has access to all that structured data.
So the platform becomes the environment where the AI lives and works.
Exactly. It's called data gravity. The AI has to come to the data. The data doesn't go to the AI. This makes the platform infinitely more valuable and stickier than it was before. If your CRM is actively closing deals for you, you are never, ever going to cancel that subscription.
So, far from the death of software, we are looking at software that does more, costs more, and is harder to leave.
That is the conclusion. We aren't witnessing the death of enterprise software. We are witnessing its evolution. It's becoming more intelligent, more automated, and yes, inevitably more expensive.
Which, for the investor focused on the paycheck paradox, trying to build a portfolio that replaces their income, sounds like a pretty wide moat to bet on.
It's a very wide moat. The volatility we see in the stock prices right now is based on fear, I think. But the fundamentals of the business model, recurring revenue, high switching costs, and now this AI tailwind are arguably stronger than ever.
It really makes you rethink the headlines. You know, we started this by talking about vibe coding, and I think the blog post sums it up perfectly. Vibe coding will unlock massive creativity. It will solve thousands of small problems.
It absolutely will. It's great technology for the long tail of software.
But the Fortune 500 isn't run on vibes.
No. The Fortune 500 is run on process, compliance, and scale. And for that, they will continue to rely on the platforms that run the world.
And as those platforms get smarter, the companies owning them likely get stronger, not weaker.
Which is exactly what we look for when we're trying to build long-term wealth.
So here is a final provocative thought for you to chew on as you go about your day. We've been told that AI levels the playing field, that it allows the little guy to compete with the giant. But what if, in the world of enterprise software, AI actually does the opposite?
That's the twist.
What if AI is the ultimate weapon for the incumbents, allowing the biggest companies to compound their advantage faster than any startup could ever catch up? Because they have the data, they have the customers, and they have the cash to run these massive models.
That is the question. Does AI democratize power or consolidate it? In this sector, it's looking a lot like consolidation.
Something to think about. All right, that is a wrap for this episode of Paycheck Paradox. I hope this helps you look at your tech investments with a slightly clearer lens, free from some of that breathless hype.
It's always about looking under the hood.
Absolutely. A huge thank you for listening. Remember, if you want to read the full argument and see the data for yourself, check out the blog post on paycheckparadox.com. I've got it all laid out there. And don't forget to check the YouTube channel for the video version if you want to see the charts we talked about.
Definitely check it out.
We'll be back soon with more insights to help you break free from the W-2 grind. Until then, thanks for listening to Paycheck Paradox, and be on the lookout for the next episode.